May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 596. God is a spirit, just and wise. His footsteps who can trace? His love more ancient than the skies breaks forth in boundless grace. Hymn 596.
Thank you. reading of the Word of God is first from the Gospel as recorded by Matthew, the part of chapter 22, and then the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3. Matthew, chapter 22, beginning at verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" No man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. To turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in any thing ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The Lord bless the reading of his word to us each and help us in prayer. Dear Lord, look down upon a few poor sinners gathered in the courts of thy house. And Lord, draw near thyself. Lord, do bring to pass what we read elsewhere. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And Lord, how can that be? Thou art holy, thou art just, thou art righteous, and we, fallen sons and daughters of Adam. Oh, it is only by the grace of God. Lord, we feel solemnly that separation that we have. Lord, sin inside holiness with thee. But Lord, we would be mindful, Lord, that grace thou dost give poor sinners. And the effect of that grace is to give them that desire after Christ Jesus. Lord, it is within our hearts to pray that he may be with us this night. That such petitions that are offered now are offered in his name. Oh, that we might learn a little this night of the preciousness of Jesus. Lord, we could venture to ask this of thee this night. Lord, there are those that have found him precious, but in the want of him. There are those we trust and believe have found him precious in the possession of him. Oh, that he might be precious. Lord, that fruit of the Spirit, that evidence of grace, that hunger and thirst which comes by grace and through grace. Oh, set our affections here and now upon things above. Lord, not on things of this earth. It may be that many have been occupied with the things of time and sense. But Lord, now in thy house, may it be that these things are left outside. Lord, and such desires of the soul may seek after Christ Jesus the Lord. Lord, to any that feel themselves to be sinners, Lord, to feel the plague within. Lord, to feel a conscience that is troubled by sin. Lord, that are brought to true and real repentance, real confession. We read of the prodigal. He began to be in want. Lord, may there be many, if not all, in this house of God that shall be in that condition. Lord, and that will be the means which thou wilt use to bring them to seek after him. Oh Lord, what a mercy to be a sinner, sensible sinner. What a mercy to be a needy sinner, because needy sinners are seekers and are not satisfied with religion in the letter of it, nor upon the attendance of the house of God. Lord, but that blessing of blessings, Lord Christ in the heart, the hope of glory. O Lord, come, we pray thee then, and dwell amongst us this evening. We do pray, Lord, for all. And Lord, it's been mentioned that if there is such a soul that's in the house of God, indifferent or careless or unconcerned, may this be the night, Lord, may this be the time, may this place be the spot of ground, Lord, when thou shalt begin that gracious desire in the soul. Look upon all that are gathered, all have a soul, all are hastening towards eternity. Lord, amongst us are young people. Oh, may they seek thee first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, Lord, what a blessing to be a seeker. No doubt, Lord, there's many much opposition to be a seeker. Unbelief rises up. The flesh in all its foolishness, the Lord will try to deter. But Lord, once that work has begun, there's no satisfaction, Lord, without a revealed Jesus. So we pray too, Lord, as we've asked thee for those who feel the plague within, Lord, point them by faith to Calvary. May they be, Lord, brought to that possession, and in that blessing of possessing, Lord, be able to say there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Lord, this is the reality of religion. Lord, not the letter, not the name of it, Lord, not gathered in denominational places, but Lord, to be among the children of God, the church of the living God. Lord, we pray therefore that there may be here those that shall seek after him. Lord, attend the house of God to listen, to hear what God the Lord will say. Perhaps, Lord, there are those who want him to say something. Listen for him to speak. Dear Lord, grant that blessing. Perhaps, Lord, they come to chapel tonight, Lord, in a certain sense of their destitution and helplessness. Perhaps there are those that come here, Lord, that feel within their hearts hopelessness as well. Lord, thou dost keep the seeker sometimes to wait upon thee and to wait for thee. But thou wilt come, Lord. How canst thou neglect a seeking soul? Thou dost encourage, Lord, and thou dost drop a word from thy lips which encourage them to go on seeking. Lord, we think of those words that are in the Solomon's song, Lord, of one who sought him. Why would they seek him if they didn't love him? And why would they seek him? Because they love him, because he first loved them. But Lord, she came to a time, that bride, she came to a time when she had passed by the watchman and found him and held him and wouldn't let him go. Oh, we would to know that. We would feel that blessing. We would experience that blessing. Lord Jesus Christ is precious. But oh, how seldom do we seem to joy and rejoice in the knowledge of him. But Lord, that doesn't stop us wanting to, seeking after him. Let there be those here then that shall joy and rejoice in the possession of Jesus Christ. And Lord, have that sweet experience of the pardon of sin. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace. Remember the cause, those that have responsibility, Lord, in office here, we would remember and pray for. Lord, we would not but to realise the solemnity of their office. Dear Lord, encourage them, give them the grace of humility. Oh, to watch and to wait. What a burden, Lord, lies on their heart. What a burden is in their prayers. Lord, we have prayed for those that are young. We pray for all here. Lord, those in the midst of life. Lord, in whatever age, Lord, disappointments come, distracting thoughts, Lord, cross the mind, but come and we pray thee appear. And Lord, remember the cause in visiting it with thy salvation. Oh, may the joy and rejoicing of a believer be found here. Lord, may the cry come as it was on that resurrection night. We've seen the Lord. Lord, we pray for such a blessing. Oh, be not silent, Lord Jesus. Be not silent, but draw near to thy people. And in this place, Lord, grant them those sweet seasons of blessing, times of refreshing from thy presence. It is the Holy Spirit's work. Lord, we read in Ephesians of the Apostles' confession. How, Lord, he was like the world when he was in the world. Oh, but then he came to those words, but God. Lord, that's what we pray for here, a but God, an intervention. Lord, that there shall be a change of heart. Change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Bless the ministry here. May it exalt Jesus Christ, Lord. We do pray for thy servants that come here. Lord, and may they, Lord, may they convey a message. Lord, we read earlier in the week, Lord, of one who was the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message. And that, Lord, can be described truly of all thy servants, if they are sent of God, they're given a message. Lord, they can't do anything with it other than the Holy Spirit will enable them to deliver that message. But oh, may that same Holy Spirit take of the things of Jesus and reveal it and apply it to thy people. Lord, may this place echo once again in praise and thanksgiving. Soften the hardest hearts. Lord, constrained by love to walk in thy ways. Hear us too, Lord, as we have to pray for all those who are in affliction's path. Oh, may thy healing hand go forth, restoring hand, sanctifying grace given. Lord, and may there be much profit out of affliction. We read, Lord, of the tribulation of the apostle in the epistle that we've read. Lord, what could he say? What could he leave on record? I would that ye should understand that the things which happened unto me have been for the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, we seek to pray for those in affliction. And Lord, our mind goes to those thy servants, Lord, that have to reduce their preaching engagements because of affliction, because of old age or increasing years. And one, Lord, that is seriously ill in hospital, thus far thou hast spared him. Lord, hear prayer, comfort his dear one and his children. Remember that cause, Lord, and provide. Lord, oh, may there be that sweet grace given. Be still and know that I am God. Lord, that's sufficient. And what did that glorious God leave on record? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Lord, visit his soul, refresh him, and oh, please, if it could please thee, restore him and spare him. But Lord, there are afflictions, tribulations, there are bereavements and sorrows. Lord, meet thy dear children in their pathway. It's all appointed. Lord, much grace is given to submit to these pathways. Lord, grant submission to the will of God. Lord, we read of Christ, and there's the example of the believer. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, hear us too as we seek, Lord, the prosperity of Zion. Lord, the state of the Church of Christ is very serious, and this poor denomination, Lord, languisheth. Lord, we pray that thou wilt deliver those, Lord, that seem comfortable in the world. Lord, we pray that there may be a seeking spirit found, renewing and reviving. And then, Lord, we would remember those who seek restoration. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, David prayed. Lord, it's a good prayer. But it, Lord, brings to mind past times, past mercies and favours. And what made to change, Lord, but sin? And yet thou didst have mercy. Lord, wilt thou hear prayer for the children of God? And wilt thou remember thine own word? Lord, we can only plead what thou hast promised, because what thou hast promised is according to thy will. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. What a blessed season, Lord, when the Lord of life and glory smiles again, and smiles into the soul, draws the affection heavenwards. Lord, we long for those blessings. Lord, hear prayer. Then we dwell in an evil land. All around us is wickedness. Who are we, Lord? What made us to differ, if there's any difference? What made us to differ? Who made thee to differ is the word of God. But we are reminded, Lord, by scripture to pray for our rulers. What can we pray for them? That their eyes may be open, their hearts touched. They are the world, they're in the world, they're like the world, and they would overthrow the truth if they could. Lord, thou knowest what is coming up in the coming days. Overthrow it, Lord. Put thy hand on them and upon it. This dreadful bill that they want to put into law, Lord, for this will bring judgment upon this land and nation. Lord, bring it to nothing. Blow on it, Lord. Oh, we pray that it may be so. Lord, that we might marvel in the mercy that spares us from the just wrath of God. Now, Lord, accept of our thanks for all thy kindness towards us every day of our life. We're the subjects of thy mercy, the sufficiency of thy blessings. Lord, we lack nothing but a thankful heart. Oh, Lord, now where we fail to ask to make up in giving, look down from heaven, thy dwelling place, send thy Spirit to dwell amongst us, to prompt, to instruct and to teach and to bless. Grace is needed, Lord, in this place, in all the place, in the pulpit, in the pew, in the desk. Grace is needed, a hearing ear, a wise and understanding heart. Grant it to us, Lord. Now forgive us of all our transgressions. We ask all in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 594. May we seek the assurance which is in the first two verses. O my soul, with wonder tell, Jesus has done all things well, and through his atoning blood I've a settled peace with God. Hymn 594.
Thank you.
completely dependent upon the help of God, I ask your attention to Philippians, the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 7. Third chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians and verse 7. That what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. The reason for reading those few verses in Matthew was found in the 42nd verse. These Pharisees, which were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" What a solemn question. Many, many years back, perhaps you may have heard me say this. If you do, just bear with me. Many, many years back, I went to hear a dear servant of God, and he spoke from those words. And it was his form, way, I suppose you might put, that having announced his text, he paused, and there was a great silence. And this was his first utterance. "What you think of Christ determines your eternal state." Dear friends, that's what I say to you tonight. What you think of Christ determines your eternal state. These words are, as you see, set in this third chapter. Set in the right place. The apostle writing to his beloved friends at Philippi speaks about his past life. Confidence. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." He describes his upbringing. He describes his religion in a few words. And then he comes to the text. "But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ." The sovereign work of grace, once begun on that Damascus road. Christ was first, Christ was last, and Christ was all and in all. And he writes to the Galatians, and he puts his finger, as it were, on the foundation of this trust and hope. He said of Christ, "Who loved me and gave himself for me." That's real religion. That's why he can say, looking at his past life, these things which was confident to him, was a foundation to rest upon, something that made him differ from another. And he speaks of the legal side of it, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Oh, what holiness did he imagine was in his heart? What a dreadful state to be left in. Dear friends, he wasn't left in it. And how about you and me? Is there anything different? No, we're not Pharisees, you say. But what things were gained to me? What comes first? Jesus Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things. What comes first? Dear friends, it's very important, this is. Very important. I was thinking then, a moment ago, it flashed into my mind, this apostle wrote to the church at Ephesus, wherein in time past we walked, ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, has there been that intervention? That remarkable miracle of miracles? Oh, you know, he healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, unstopped the ears of the deaf. He tells John the Baptist in Matthew's Gospel of these blessings. And then he comes to the conclusion of the verse that he leaves or gives to those disciples of John and says this, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Poor. What does it say about a Christian? Shouldn't he hold his head up? Shouldn't he walk about this veil of tears as being better than the rest of them? He has a hope in Christ, he'll tell you. Dear friends, if you are called by grace, if you are the subjects of this miracle of miracles, whereby a sinner that is born into the world in that broad way to destruction, until God in his mercy and in his divine choice begins to operate and influence your soul, and you seek after better things. What do you think of these things that the world seek after? Oh, the effort and the strength, the wisdom and the ability, and oh, the drive that's in some people. They're going to conquer this and conquer that, possess this and possess that. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say? He speaks very solemnly of a man who said that he was going to pull down his barns and build bigger. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's good business. But then he said, I shall say to my soul, take thine ease, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And who shall these things be? Dear friends, this is the evidence. You want to know the evidence of grace? You've been to chapel all your days. You hope you're amongst the children of God, and you long for some sweet testimony from glory that will confirm you as being in the way everlasting. Look at this word then. Does it apply to you? Does it apply to me? What things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. I learnt this hymn years ago, compared with Christ, in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. I learnt that. How did I learn it? Well, I'll tell you if you don't mind. And if you've heard me say it, forgive me. But it's part of my experience. This is part of my testimony. I was offered a position in life. I worked in Kent and they were going to close my branch. They offered me a bigger job, greater job, much more wisdom will be needed, much more staff to control, much more budget to try to meet. And I never said yes, but I never said no. when I was coming back on holiday. I came back from holiday, and on the Monday morning, getting ready to go to work again after being away for a couple of weeks. And I was in the bathroom, and the Lord dropped these words in. What things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Tell you what, dear friends, I joyed and rejoiced. I blessed him, and all my heart's affection were put out to Christ. I loved him as I never loved anyone. He was precious to me. I wept all the way to work, wept tears of joy. The Lord had intervened and had constrained my heart to follow him in the way of his will and purpose. Now I got to work and my phone rang. And there was a gentleman on there who has responsibility for these, filling these positions in the company. Just want to tell you, he said, we had to give that job to someone else. Without thinking, I said, yes, I know. He said, how did you know? You've been on holiday. I said, well, I don't know if I can tell you how I know, but I do know. So he said, does it bother you? And I said, not a scrap. Oh, good. And the phone went down. That was it. That's how I come to go to Norfolk. Not to where I was promised, but to where the Lord would have me to be. Dear friends, what things were gained to me? No doubt it would have been a responsibility that whether I could manage it or not is another story. But effort and hard work would have been in front of me. But you see, Christ came first. And he broke my heart with his love. Follow him, I'd follow him wherever he led me. I'd follow him everywhere. I said, if you lead me up a mountain, I'll follow you. That's what my love to Christ was in those days, and I trust it's still there. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Dear friends, it says in the gospel, it speaks in the gospel of two ways. A broad way, many shall be found therein, and it leads to destruction. Oh, you that pray for your family, you that burden with souls. Dear friends, the truth is the truth, however you cannot escape from it. The broad way leads to destruction. The narrow way leads to life. A few there be that find it. I was very touched by this word, and I was very touched because it was explained to me in a different way, not this text. I waited on the Lord for divine instruction in a matter. I waited week after week. Nothing came through the ministry, nothing came through private devotions. But one day I went to chapel and I got to the end of my patience. And I said, Lord, let it be today. Show me what is thy will. Show me what is thy will. And I said this, and I hope you'll receive it. Lord, if it's necessary, change the text. If it's necessary. Sunday morning came and the text was preached. Sunday evening, another text. I don't say this boastfully. I say it humbly. The Lord intervened. And the text was about Abraham and Lot. And how that the plains were so attractive. And we read of Abraham, he said to Lot, you choose. You choose the plain or the mountain. And Lot chose the plain. And one of the things that stood out in that discourse was this. The servant of God said this in my ears, in the ears of others, not that it would have been any difference to them, but it had a profound effect upon me. He said, if you have to choose the way, choose the hard way. And I got the answer. That's the hard way. It's the right way. The Lord will be with his people. He will sustain them. He will maintain them. When they're brought to be willing in the day of his power. Dear friends, this makes me see what this text really means. What things were going to mean. Don't be envious at the world. Don't be like Asaph in the 73rd Psalm. When he looked at the world, he envied the world. He envied what they possessed. They weren't in trouble as other men are. But they were so confident. This 73rd Psalm, there's a lot of lessons to be learned out of it. This was a child of God who was envious at the foolish when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. I don't know why we should have such a text. But the Lord knows, and what's it for? I do not know. We leave the issue with the Lord. But you see, that was where Asaph came. Pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand up with fatness. They've more than heart could wish. They are corrupt. And they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. And their tongue walketh through the earth. And then we read this. And I don't know, dear friends, this is a bold adventure sometimes. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. And who amongst us here have had this divine teacher? You've gone up to the house of God, and it's pleased him to open up the word of God to your soul and apply it and make it a blessing. Until I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. Sure, and then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How thou wrought into desolation in a moment. Thou utterly consumed with terrors. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. When that particular day came of the apostle, he left Jerusalem. All the fervour, all the zeal, all the hatred boiled up in his heart. He got permission, got authority to go to Damascus to take these Christians, these believers in Jesus, and hale them to prison and to death. That's what he set out to do. He came to a place where Jesus Christ met him. Where Jesus Christ met him. Stopped him in his tracks. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Come out of the heart of Saul of Tarsus. Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What things were going to be. It was a leaving off. There's a lot of Christianity, you know, is what I call 50%. 50% spiritual, 50% flesh. And they seem to be able to work together. I don't know how they can. But you know, there's this leaving. To leave the world's deceitful shore, to leave it to return no more. If God makes a change, it's an effectual change. It's not a change of circumstances. Necessarily, but it's a change of heart. What a blessed thing when the heart's changed. The Lord speaks by his Spirit in Ezekiel about a new heart and a new spirit. Not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh, or a feeling heart as it would mean. Dear friends, if you want to know if you've got grace, ask the question into your soul, what think ye of Christ? That'll tell you whether you've got grace or not. Is he precious? We had a minister, we had a pastor that used to speak about Christ in the preciousness in the want of him. Precious in the possession of him, you say, that's what Christians speak about. But dear friends, till you have him revealed, confirmed to you, that you stand upon the rock Christ Jesus. He's precious in the want of him. What brought the change? Not the flesh. The flesh doesn't want this pathway. The flesh doesn't want it, but the Spirit does. And the work of grace is an evidence of the Spirit's work in the soul. And you're brought to see the truth. How precious Jesus Christ then is. More precious far than life and all its comforts are. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Dear friends, it's one thing to speak about the crucifixion of the flesh. That's one thing to speak about it. Oh, plenty of people will tell you what they've given up for Jesus Christ. Solemn thing it is to say that without thinking, isn't it? What they've given up for Jesus Christ. I could from all things, could you say this? I could from all things, I can't. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Is there an exercised soul in this house of God? Is there such a one who has the exercise in their soul of venturing and following in the ways of God's command? Dear friends, you've had this pleasure. May you have this pleasure again of the testimony that will be to the joy and rejoicing of your soul when you can see. And I was going to put it like this. I hope it's right if you can understand it, how I mean. To turn the back upon attainments. Turn the back upon the world and all its evil and sin and wickedness, and be brought to walk after this glorious Jesus. What things were gained to me? All sorts of things are gained to the flesh. The flesh loves them, you know, boosts them up. You know that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Oh, to pray for the flesh to be subdued. To pray the Lord keep you in humility. Do you pray for humility? Do you pray for the Lord to grant you a humbling spirit? What happens when the Lord blesses you with answers to prayer? What happens when you have some wonderful answer to your petitions? The Lord has accomplished it. Work wonders. What do you do? Boast of it. Boast of it. What you, dear friends, if you boast of things like that, who gets the glory? Who gets the praise? There's a word, isn't there, in the 115th Psalm, I think it is. Not unto us, but unto thy name give I glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. We read on, of course, in the chapter, and he speaks of something that you and I have not yet experienced. Not literally, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Dear friends, when the Spirit of God begins to work in the soul, he'll work on your soul and in your soul, and bring about a knowledge of sin, your iniquity. He'll show you what you didn't know was there. That dreadful state of sin. That awful state of wickedness. I don't know about you, dear friends, but I have to confess this, and I would before you. You take up the word of God. You take your precious soul to the throne of grace. You read the word of God before you pray. And what comes about? It's like as though someone's crept in and whispered in your ear while you're reading the word of God. Your mind goes somewhere else. You're reading the truth, or you're trying to pray to the Lord and your mind goes somewhere else. Does that happen to you? How you have to beg the Lord to pardon such sin. But dear friends, there's another thing too. Real religion's more than notion. Something must be known and felt. preciousness of Jesus Christ exceeds everything else. But be sure of this, you know, that if Christ has been made precious to you, whether it's in the want of him or whether it's in the possession of him, there will be much opposition. Much opposition. I believe that dear woman in the 15th of Matthew was brought to Jesus Christ with a burden, and he answered her, not a word. Not a word. But you see, there was grace in that soul. You can't, it's not recorded. You know, as well as I know, what it is to wait for answers. You know what it is to lay the burdens of your soul and your circumstances, all those who are near and dear to you, lay them at the feet of Jesus. And you know also what it is to wait for him. And you know, when a soul has to wait patiently for the Lord to appear, oh, how solemn is the time. That's when the suggestions come. That's when Satan starts to move. That's when the flesh rises up. You go back to this book of Psalms, and you read Psalm 42 sometime, and you'll see the twice in that psalm what a sore situation it was to him. While they say daily unto me, not once a week, not once a month, not so often, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? But there was in that, dear psalmist, a confidence. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. How does this blessed Jesus, therefore, show himself or reveal those blessings and favours of which draws your heart and affections to him? 'Tis only, dear friends, when you see what he's done for you. There's a seeking for it, of course. There's a longing desire for the mercy that's in Christ Jesus. If you're a sinner, you'll know what Christ Jesus came into the world for, to save sinners. If you're a sinner that is convinced of sin, you'll seek to find an interest in his precious blood. But you know, there's a certain word which is so important in divine truth. Well, there's many a certain word, of course, but one word came to my thoughts just then. Revelation. Revelation. What do you know of Christ, dear friends? It's what he's how he's been revealed. Is it the 16th chapter of John's Gospel when he himself speaks of the Holy Spirit's work? He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Revelation. What do you know of Jesus Christ? Only by what he's how he's been revealed to you. Yes, you know the need of him, I trust. You know what it is to long for him, and how you seek after him. But these blessings which so draw your affections from your very soul to this glorious person is when it is by the Spirit revealed what he's accomplished for you. Have you ever been to Calvary in faith? Have you been there to witness, as it were, the sacred purpose of God in Christ Jesus for the redemption of sinners? I tell you this, dear friends, you won't mind being described, and in fact, I don't believe that it can only be the best way to describe it, as you are found to feel to be the vilest sinner. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Vile sinners. These things, dear friends, will indeed unite you by the cords of love to a precious Jesus. One of the things which I was going to mention was this, you know, if you've had some sweet token of his love and mercy, or if you've been blessed with a view of this glorious Saviour, if he's come into your pathway, into your heart, broke your heart, brought you down before him, what a testimony that a Saviour has done this for a sinner. You know, one of the solemn words when you read of the Pharisees, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And we read on Tuesday in God's house, we read recently about the Zacchaeus, how he climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus Christ. And he was told to come down because that day was going to abide in his house, Thursday. But there was criticism that this man had gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. In the Gospel of Luke, you find Jesus Christ in a Pharisee's house and a woman washing the feet of Christ with her tears and drying them with the hairs of her head. What opposition came? If this man was a prophet, he'd know what sort of woman this was. She is a sinner. What a solemn thing to say, dear friends. But these sinners that are blessed with Jesus Christ have such a sweet union. And it's a union and a communion of which it is because of revelation, because of application. Oh, how Christ is precious indeed in seeking for him and longing for him. But how precious must he be, dear friends, when he comes into to do your soul good, meet your soul in his courts of his house or in your own house, visit your soul with his salvation. Breaks your heart, doesn't it? Bless God, would we were more broken heart sinners. What things were going to me. Those who are the subjects of God's grace can and are enabled at times to look back, to glance back over the pathway. One thing I will say to you is this, that the flesh hasn't changed. It's just as vile, just as far off from God as it ever been. The flesh hasn't changed. But you know, what a blessed thing to be able to see, to look back or to trace the Lord's dealings with your soul. In the matters of your salvation, the flesh, as I said, has no interest in it. It's going to turn to dust one day. The redeemed soul is going to glory one day, and the two won't go together between the old man and the new. Warfare is to be known. But you know, the preciousness of Jesus Christ is known by revelation. How he has left a mark, as it were, upon your precious soul of things that he's done. I said just now, have you been to Calvary? If you've been to Calvary, you know, it's because he's been to Calvary for you. If you have an interest in Christ Jesus as the Saviour, you think of the sorrow and the distress and the castings down that you have had, and I trust you have, over sin and the need of salvation, all the burden that sin has been made to you. You didn't know that in the world. When you was in the world and of the world, you didn't know that. I've heard a testimony once or twice, or shall I say the groans and sighs of a poor sinner. And they completely misjudged their gracious God. One of the things, dear friends, the Holy Spirit will do will convince of sin and lead to Jesus' blood. And he'll be precious. But there's many a soul that feels the enormity, solemnity of being a sinner in the eyes of a holy, just God. Dear friends, and to use a phrase, there's no hope, is there? No hope. You ask a convinced sinner how he stands as regards hope. And he'll tell you, or she'll tell you, but there's no hope, I'm a sinner. I've been made to feel it now, whereas I've been made to see it past times. Why has he showed you? Why is it that a poor sinner complains? Because he now has it revealed to him, it's revelation in his soul of his lost condition. Mine's alas, a lost condition. Works cannot work thee remission. All thy goodness do thee good. Sins within thee, all about thee, but the remedies without thee, see it in the Saviour's blood. Dear friends, he'll load your shoulders well with woe. And such is the experience of such souls that they feel themselves to be under his condemnation. So indeed was the Apostle Paul. The 7th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans speaks about his condemnation. But the 8th chapter speaks of there's no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Why isn't there? Well, what did he say? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ. So we could say there was no condemnation. Dear friends, if you are troubled with sin, bless God, you will one day. You are blessed, God, for the trouble that sin is to you. You think it's against you. Dear friends, it's certainly to reveal the state by nature that you and I are all in. But it's in preparation, this revelation is. It's in preparation. It's in preparation for the mercy of God to be seen. If you and I know what it is, therefore, to groan and sigh under sin, it's in preparation for the mercy. What do you think about the man in Luke's gospel who went to the temple to pray? Not the Pharisee. He got nothing to pray for. His self-righteousness suited him, and I suppose he had some hope that he therefore was blessed of God. But the poor man that was unrighteous, the poor man that was a sinner, who could hardly lift up his eyes unto heaven, that smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Dear friends, when you come to that place, God's had mercy. God's had mercy. When you come to that place, when you come to that place where you're condemned by your own conscience, God's had mercy. Now, what do we read? God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Well, the man was justified in his deeds. I thank God I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. No Christ in them, was there? No Christ in those things. He was only doing what he should do. But you see, those things were important to him. They were works. And he was full of works. And there he rested his immortal soul upon works, works of righteousness that he had done. But the preciousness of the publican was the truth, what something that he couldn't do. He couldn't bring peace to his conscience. He couldn't understand what justification meant in and of himself until he was brought into the blessing of pardon. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Well rehearsed, well known by sinners, isn't it? Heard about it every Sunday. But when it comes from your lips, because it comes from your heart, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Dear friends, if you don't remember anything else, the Lord help you to view this word. And your experience or your thoughts upon this vital subject, this oneness with Jesus Christ, and a sinner called by grace, blessed with the pardon of their sin, a knowledge of Jesus Christ, he's one with Jesus, by eternal union one, and dear friends, there'll be no separation. The love of Christ in the soul, there shall be no separation. Oh, the Lord keep us from these things that make us proud. The Lord keep us from those things that we think are for our spiritual benefit. But you'll come to this one thing, you know, this glorious truth. And that is the preciousness of Jesus Christ. He is precious unto him, unto ye who do believe. He is precious. He'll be the one thing needful of his children. But he'll show them by his grace and mercy how it is that they should be first, that he should be first in their affections. Well, dear friends, I came to learn at him then that we sometimes think concerning the preciousness of Jesus. I came to this verse. Love to my God for him again, with love intense I'd burn. Chosen of thee ere time began, I choose thee in return. Oh, you know, that's a word that people don't like to hear, choose. But you know, if the love of Christ dwells in your heart, you will acquiesce to the way. You'll fall in with the will and purposes of salvation when you know an interest in it. You'll wonder at the mercy, you'll wonder at the glorious truth of salvation for sinners. Once I was lost and now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. He had a pedigree, did this man. What he called at one time a good pedigree. Oh, men looked up to Pharisees. They could pray in the streets, in the corners of the streets, in the synagogue. They went about and said, in effect, good, give place to me, for I am more holier than thou. What a lot of spirit, what a lot of religion flowed from their lips, none in their heart. And you that know Christ in the heart, whether it's in the want of him or in the possession of him, when you've been able to, as I said, draw a line between the past and the present, one of the things that grace will do, dear friends, is make the Lord Jesus, or cause the Lord Jesus Christ to be precious. But he'll make you desire, he'll give a desire, put a desire in your heart for him. May you and I this night have this resurrection blessing. What's the resurrection blessing? We've seen the Lord. That's the resurrection blessing. The Lord reveal himself and bless you in your soul with the sight of Jesus. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Burgess will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Philip Hare on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn number 80, and we'll sing the refrain. Blessed are the sons of God, they are bought with Jesus' blood, they are ransomed from the grave, life eternal they shall have. With them numbered may I be, now and in eternity. Hymn number 80.
thy forgiveness and pardon be over all that's been amiss, but do own and bless thine own word. Take us under thy care, bring us each to our homes in peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father and the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us both now and forever. Amen.